Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz, and we're traveling from Capitol Hill to Beacon Hill, because D.C. isn't the only place where lawmakers are entering a new legislative year. Newly elected and re-elected state legislators are being sworn in today, and also they're completing their first official act, which is to re-elect State House Speaker Robert DeLeo and Senate President Karen Spilka to their leadership posts. WBUR's Steve Brown joins us now from the State House for more on what's expected from Beacon Hill this session. Hi, Steve.
Hey, hi, Evan. How are you?
Oh, I got nervous there for a second. Good. Glad you. How's the State House treating you today?
It's treating me fine. It's nice to be back.
Yeah. Well, back is the right term. 2018 was a big year in Massachusetts politics. The minimum wage got increased. We had criminal justice reform, family leave. Is 2019 going to be as impactful a year?
Well, I'm not sure about that. We'll see. We're going to have a lot of periods of inactivity for a while, followed by flurries of brisk action.
It's a weather report for politics in Massachusetts.
It takes a while for all the bills to get sent to the various committees and then for those committees to begin holding the hearings. So a lot of the work that goes on is kind of in the offices and what have you here. We probably won't see any major legislation passed until maybe the fall, with the exception, of course, with the state budget. That pretty much takes up all of the attention in this building right up through the end of June.
And that's not unusual. Our sessions run 2 years. Very often the first year is kind of preparations for that flurry, as you describe it, in the second year.
That's right. Expect it to be very busy July of 2020.
So what about the relationship between the House and the Senate? It has been contentious at times. Do you expect that to continue? Is there any reason to think they'll be able to work together more smoothly this session?
Well, they will manage. This is the first full session with Karen Spilka in the role of Senate President. She took what could be considered a bit of a jab at the House today in her remarks, declaring the time for small ideas and incremental change is over. Now, in recent years, the Senate has wanted to tackle some of the tougher issues, while the House tends to take a more cautious approach. Spilka telegraphed that the Senate intends to continue a bold approach, singling out a desire to address tax reform, education funding, and legislation that would slow the rise of prescription drug prices.
And what about House Speaker DeLeo? He was reelected. Did he also talk about big, bold things?
No, his remarks were a little bit shorter and were more just welcoming nature. He's been Speaker for going on 10 years now. He was reelected today to that post overwhelmingly, 119 to 31. Those 31 votes, of course, were the Republicans who voted for the minority leader, Brad Jones. 8 Democrats, including 4 freshmen, voted present. Now, still, there are some private rumblings that maybe DeLeo has had this job too long. Down in the Democratic caucus earlier this morning, some members proposed a motion that would require that in the future the vote for Speaker would be done by a secret ballot. Supporters of that motion contend that doing it that way would shield them from possible retribution should they not vote for the ultimate winner.
A secret ballot vote for the leader, huh?
Well, in the caucus, because everybody has to stand up and declare who they're voting for. And so the thought was, well, hey, you know, that kind of puts the pressure on me. You know, here I'm gonna vote for this other guy and he might not get in and what's going to happen to me? So, you know, some of these folks thought that maybe if we do it by secret ballot, kind of like how you vote for your legislators and your governor and your president, you go into a ballot box, nobody knows who you're voting for. They wanted to have the same thing. The motion was soundly defeated, but they did spend about a half an hour discussing it today. I kind of found it interesting.
Well, there are 30 freshman legislators, 25 new state reps, 5 new state senators, bringing new blood in. That sounds like the kind of motion that comes with new blood. What else do you think is in store we can expect to see from these new reps and senators?
Well, that remains to be seen. There has been a lot of turnover in recent years here in the legislature. Some of these freshman reps and senators come up here expecting to change the world, and then they find out that it's not that easy. Many times, as a new rep, the saying goes, you have to go along to get along. Some find that to be the case, and they grow discouraged, and then they'll leave after maybe a term or two. Others find that they can work within the system and work their way up the ladder and gain some clout and get some things passed that is near and dear to themselves and to their constituents.
Well, that's WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, Evan.
But don't go anywhere. I gather that sitting next to you at our WBUR State House Bureau is Senate President Karen Spilka. Is that right?
That's right. Sitting right next to me.
Can I talk to her?
You sure can.
Fantastic.
Good afternoon.
Hi, President Spilka. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a big day for you. Congratulations on your reelection. Start of a new year, a new legislative session. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling terrific. It was a wonderful ceremony. We have five new members that were sworn in today to the Senate, five fairly new from last session. We opened up in a newly renovated Senate chamber that goes on only like once in a century. And the Senate chamber is now fully handicapped accessible from front to back. So it's wonderful to open it up to all residents of the Commonwealth.
And also sort of a new era for the Senate. I mean, you took over at a complicated time in the wake of an ethics scandal that led former Senate President Stan Rosenberg to resign. Do you think that turmoil has ended and the Senate is ready to refocus on legislative priorities?
Definitely. I think that we focused on legislative priorities last session. We had a very productive session despite some of the challenges that the Senate saw last session. But we are ready to hit the ground running. There's a lot of excitement over the issues that are ahead of us and the opportunities. We really believe that with the gridlock and inaction to some extent on the federal level, that it presents a tremendous opportunity as well as an obligation to lead on the state level. And Massachusetts has been a leader. We've never shied away from shaking up the status quo in the past, from the Revolutionary War to the fight for equal marriage. And I believe that the Senate is ready, willing, and able to continue that longstanding tradition.
So what's the big revolutionary idea at the top of your list?
Well, there are a lot of issues that you know we need to address. First and foremost is finishing what we came really close to last year with education. Education has always been Massachusetts' lodestar, and we need to ensure that every child has access to a quality public education, no matter where they live or who they are, by passing and fully implementing the Foundation Budget Review Commission's recommendations to make sure every child has the adequate funding. We need to look at health care and make sure that we came close to finishing last session also. There's a lot of things we could do, and Massachusetts has led the way with health care reform to begin with, and I believe that we can do that again, grab the lead and continue reforming health care to lower costs and make it more accessible and yet still increase the quality. We also have in this day and age technology that has radically changed the way that we live and work. And Massachusetts, in true form, has been leading the way in this new landscape, producing entirely new industries fueled by creativity, innovation, and technological expertise. So, and the last thing that the term Commonwealth reminds us that we're invested, all of us are invested in preserving the common good. And we should take a look at our economic development and tax framework to make sure it's in line with the 21st century, where the innovation economy can develop and thrive.
Well, it's quite a long.
Transportation is the last piece. I just want to mention that we really need to commit to developing a transportation infrastructure that matches our 21st century innovation economy.
Well, I was about to say it's quite a long list, and then you added transportation to it, so it's an even longer list. Let's start with education funding. You mentioned the foundation budget, right? This is the formula that makes sure that schools all across the Commonwealth get an amount of money sufficient to provide a quality education to their students. You tried to do this last year and the negotiations broke down. What has changed? What makes last year's failures this year's or this session's successes?
Excuse me. We all know that often it takes several sessions, several years to perfect a bill sufficiently to get it through both the House and the Senate. That's not new. It's happened since I've been here for many years. So we came very close, I'm a glass half full type of person. I believe that if anything, that'll help us get it done this session. I believe that there's a will from both the Senate and the House and the administration to make some changes and invest in our education funding formula.
Steve Brown was suggesting in his sort of introduction to this that you had some sharp words for some of your colleagues in their incrementalist approach. I mean, I had sources say to me that the real impediment to some progressive change in Massachusetts isn't the Republican governor, it's the House Speaker. Is this your feeling, that sort of collegiality among Democrats has broken down in a way that's impeding legislative change?
Not at all. I believe, again, you know, we have 34 Democrats in the Senate. There's, you know, the vast majority of Democrats in the House. We aren't all on the same page for issues, and we will disagree. It's not always Democrat-Republican disagreeing, and it's not always, you know, Democrats, we're a big tent, so to speak. You know, people have heard that phrase before. Again, it will take a lot of listening, a lot of working together, collaboration and communication, and just keep on plugging things through like any other issue. I don't think, you know, the fact that we're all Democrats and having common values and our core values are similar, if anything, I think that'll help us.
Well, I wish you luck in the coming legislative session. That's Massachusetts Senate President Karen Spilka. Thank you so much for joining us, President Spilka.
Thank you so much. Have a great day and Happy New Year.
And to you.